How do you not do this alone? How do you find other people who are wanting to do similar type of work? How do you do it in a way that feels like a non-anxious presence to others, where you're not trying to gain something from them, but you're really wanting to offer something to others?
Welcome to Formation Conversations, a podcast of the Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona. We're having an ongoing conversation with friends about what it means to be formed into the image of Christ. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome, everyone, to the podcast of the Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona. And as we move into this new season, we're actually moving away from having seasons, and we're going to rebrand what we're calling our podcast. We're moving away from Taste and See, which served us so well over these last years. And we're now going to be calling our podcast Formation Conversations. I'm Ted Wiesty, the director of the Spiritual Formation Society, and I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, producer of the show, Gray Ewing.
Hey guys, Gray Ewing. Forgive the voice, I'm recovering a little bit from a cold, but I am the pastor at Ascension Church of Phoenix, a Presbyterian kind of liturgical formation-based church right in the center of Phoenix, Arizona. And we planted that a number of years ago. And I've loved doing this work alongside Ted for all these years and all these seasons of the podcast, and excited to continue the conversations.
Yeah, you know, we always joke, Gray, or at least I joke, that we may have like three listeners. We might have one. We don't know how many, but if there was no one else, just you and I getting together has been worth the journey.
Absolutely.
And then to get to have conversations with people that we love and respect. And so I think in some ways we're shifting the podcast into really what we've enjoyed most, which has been conversations with other people. And that's where we're going to land as we move forward.
Yeah, Ted and I got together recently and just decided, hey, that thinking back of all the amazing people we talked to, that was really the most fun part. And it's almost like the topic or the season didn't matter so much as just whatever the Lord kind of invited for that that one conversation. And so that's pretty exciting just to continue in that vein.
Yeah. And we, one of the things that we would do is we would always have a meal, or we would eat something together. I think, you know, we did the coffee season one time. And so we're going to still have a little bit of something with that, but it's basically going to be choose your own adventure. So Gray, you and I as co-hosts, and then whoever our guest is, you choose what you want to drink or eat, a snack or whatever that's like something you enjoy that's appropriate to the time of day. So like today we're recording late afternoon. So that will, I'm sure, inform that. We're probably not going to be eating donuts. But anyway, we'll talk about that just a little bit, maybe not spend 30 minutes on it like we used to on the old podcast. We'll jump into that a little bit as well. But today, for this inaugural adventure into Formation Conversations, I want to introduce a friend that I've been getting to know over the last year, really, maybe more so the last 10 months, but we first met, I think, almost a year ago. And our guest is Justin Phillips. Justin, welcome.
Hey, honored to be with you guys. Thankful to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, and Justin and I have been growing in a friendship over the last year, just as he's been noticing things in his ministry context that seems to be similar to some things that we've been experiencing as a Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona. We began to bond and talk and share. And so, Justin, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you live, and introduce yourself to our amazing podcast audience.
Yeah, thank you. It's, again, thanks for having me, and to all the listeners that are listening, no matter how many, thankful to be with you. And I'm based in Northwest Arkansas in the city of Bentonville, and really kind of my road to the Spiritual Formation Society in Arizona was I'm a trained counselor, licensed counselor, marriage family therapist, and a spiritual director. And in my own work, I have my own practice. It's a solo practice. It's me, myself, and I, and been doing that for a while now, and began to wonder who else is doing similar things and in some similar spaces in some other ways. And as I was doing some Google searching, the Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona came up, and I was intrigued by it. And I think a couple of things that were lending itself to that were this work, the kind of work with spiritual direction and doing spiritual retreats is often a hidden work. And so it's not something that you're always boldly advertising and trying to convince people to do. So there is a sense of surrender with that work. And as much as I was in welcoming that, there became a sense of, I can feel pretty alone doing this. And I wonder who else is out there. How do we find each other? And this area in Northwest Arkansas has a growing number of spiritual directors, was beginning to connect with some others. But I sensed there was something happening, and I wondered, how do you do this without it becoming about you, about your name, something that can be bigger than you and beyond you? And so when I came across the Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona, I was like, I am deeply intrigued by this. One, by the name Society, because I instantly go back to high school and National Honor Society or the Spanish Club Society or something, you know, just like, what does that mean to be a society? And what I discovered was there was a sense of community there, a sense of friendship that was there. And I think that's what I was drawn to as well. So that's a little bit of me and how I found, as we say in Arkansas, y'all, how I found y'all.
Well, it's really cool to meet you. This is my first time meeting Justin, and Ted's had more conversations. And so it's exciting to get to know you, brother. And are you eating or drinking anything special today that you could share with us? And what time is it there? It's a little later there.
It's 10 till 6, you know, so we're supper time now, but I do have a nice snack. My grandma on my mom's side, very special woman in my life. Every time I went to go visit her, she had oatmeal cream pies and she had a Sprite. And so she was fully stocked with Sprite, oatmeal cream pies. And, occasionally I will get a box of those and keep around for the kids or for guests here at the retreat cottage I have. And it's just a fun memory of her. And kind of a fun fact, Little Debbie, its facility is about 20 minutes from here. So
it's local.
You can try and smell fresh baked oatmeal cream pies. You're driving. It's pretty magical.
As a fellow Southerner, I know exactly what those two things taste like together, you know, so that was also a staple of my childhood. So I'm with you in spirit. And what about you, Ted? What are you drinking or eating this afternoon?
I was thinking Little Debbie oatmeal pies. It's like farm to factory to table right there. Northwest.
It's actually local. The local good.
That's awesome. Oh, so you know what I'm drinking? Is this thing called Poppy. Are you guys familiar with that?
I've had it one time.
Same.
Well, I love it. It's a prebiotic soda. And so anyway, this one is watermelon flavor, which is like my favorite. I just love it so much. And I think it's kind of healthy for you because it's prebiotic and it's got whatever in there. So I feel moderately healthy when I'm drinking it. I probably shouldn't feel that healthy, but my wife started buying these and I love them and I drink like one every day. And a couple of weeks ago, she said, you know, you're drinking a lot of those things. I'm like, but they're so good. She goes, well, they're kind of expensive. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're what, like 50 cents, a dollar? She goes, you know, no more than that. What, like $1.50? No more than that. I'm like, oh man, I'm not going to drink these things, but once a week now that I found that they're so expensive. But anyway, it's a treat. I love it. Poppy watermelon, highly recommend.
Not quite as healthy as an oatmeal cream pie, but almost, right? So I have had one of those as well. They're delicious. Well, for myself, I have a cherry cola. from Black Bear and Sprecher Company, which I guess makes root beer. This is a cherry cola. And the funny story with this is I'm sitting in my new house. We just bought a new house and it's totally empty. I've been here this afternoon doing demolition work myself. And the previous owners left a bunch of drinks in the fridge. And so I'm drinking the previous owner of this house's drinks, which it feels a little weird, you know, but then it's kind of like they were sealed, you know, like I think they're mine now. Everything that they conveyed, you know, they conveyed with the close of the house.
Is it good? You like it?
It's fine. Yeah.
Is it good?
It's cherry cola. Yeah. It could be expired. I'm not positive, but,
well, hey, so Justin, when you were talking a little bit about, your context there, you said I'm in this retreat space. Mm-hmm. Can you say something about that?
Yeah. So there's a really neat kind of a story with it. I won't go too far into that, but, there's this house that, we were actually invited to come live in as a family, several years ago. And it's a small 2-bedroom, 1-bath house, but it was a house that was in downtown Bentonville. It was about to be destroyed. And so, the owners of this house now have a construction company and remodel company. And so they got this house, I think basically for free, and hauled it out here on a trailer onto this farmland and rebuilt it. And so they have a blueberry field right behind it. And so this has been named the Berry Cottage. So it's this really, really beautiful space, with kind of a neat story of something that felt like maybe was unusable and it's been restored. And there was a lot of life in that, you know, left in here. So we moved out, several years ago, and, I asked the owner, it's like, hey, I got this vision for some work, especially around the spiritual formation and, spiritual retreats. Can I continue to rent this and use it for that? And had their blessing for that. So it's been just a gift. And so even in spiritual direction, when people come here, it feels like they are stepping into a home that has a sense of what I think about the returning, you know, that retreats are about returning and advancing. And so a lot of people have a sense of returning of what feels like a safe place for them to come to and meet God. So it's a really sweet spot. It's been a great gift for us to be able to use it and welcome people here.
So if I'm understanding right, you're saying basically you do spiritual direction there and also host retreats.
Correct.
And so what would a retreat look like for you guys, in your ministry? What types of things are you guys doing?
Yeah. So for the retreat, it's, I kind of stumbled across it, as well, in that being able to use this space, I also want to be sensitive to, the property owners have a house on the property as well. And so I didn't want to do an overnight. So what I felt God was saying, do retreats. And I was like, okay, so it will be overnights. So developed a half day retreat for people. So it's usually about a 5.5 hour retreat where someone will come around lunchtime, and I love to cook. So I'll make a home cooked meal for them. And then there's certain themes, topics, guides that I've written, whether that's for a grief and lament retreat or maybe something on the Christian calendar, like a Lent or an Advent or a reflection retreat or a retreat on Sabbath and rest. And so a guide that we'll begin and do lunch together and some spiritual direction. And then I'll let them use the space and I will leave for the rest of the afternoon and then come back around the last 45 minutes and just do a reflection time with them of what do they notice during their time here. So it's been actually a really neat gift, a surprise in some ways of the accessibility for people to attend a retreat who may not otherwise have space in their calendar to do a 2 or 3 day retreat. So my prayer under those is that people will get a taste of retreat and they get to experience like this is what it means to return to God and to retreat with God and to accept an invitation to come away with him, that that can become part of a practice in their life. And then maybe there's a retreat that's longer, a 3-day or a 7-day, 8-day retreat they may be open to in the future.
Love that. So shifting gears a little bit, but building on something we were talking about before, drawn to that word society, drawn to some of the ways that we've been doing things, felt like it resonates with you. And by the way, a little backstory, I don't know if we ever shared this on the podcast, but the word society is used in different orders in the church. You know, they're the Society of Jesus or the, you know, followers of Ignatius and different things like that. But probably more than anything, what shaped it for me was Dead Poets Society. If you guys remember that movie, we've since moved on from it, but our first logo that we had for like 10 years was based on the cover of that DVD, Dead Poets Society. I basically just mocked it. So anyway, kind of a little hidden Easter egg inside our first logo that most people probably don't know about.
That's interesting. I'm glad you told that story.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. I don't think we ever talked about it, you know, but, say a little bit about just as we've developed a friendship and you've been noticing a desire there with the Spiritual Formation Society and kind of what's happening in your heart right now with all that. And
yeah, the interesting thing was when I was looking at the side of the Spiritual Formation Society, I saw there was a conference coming up and the theme of the conference was attachment with God. And there's a natural interest in that for myself as far as both being a counselor and a spiritual director of wanting to know more about that. But I thought it was a good chance for me to just get a feel for what the organization was about. And so I reached out to Ted and actually I attended, you all had like a 10-year celebration event. And I jumped on a Zoom call to find out more about it then and ended up in a private room with you, Ted, like on Zoom, you know, because I had a Zoom glitch for a while and we just got to introduce myself and say, hey, I'm coming out in February and I would love to get some time with you before the conference. And so when the time came for the conference, met with you, Ted, a day before, and we just got to talk about kind of how you all started, what's happening within me, what am I noticing? And I remember just saying to you, I love your website. I love the structure of it. I love the structure of the offerings that you all have there. And if you ever see me basically copying you, I'm copying you because I love everything that you're doing there. And I really feel like Northwest Arkansas is ready for something like that. And you not only like gave me your blessing, you know, to do that, you said you can do it for free. Like anything that we have, you can have and you can use. And it was just a way of like, I think you even said the words, we've been praying for something like this. If there are people who are wanting to partner with something like this, there's something here. And so after that, you and I began just have some more maybe informal conversations about what that could look like and what are some resources I could use. But I was just really deeply drawn into how do you not do this alone? How do you find other people who are wanting to do similar type of work? How do you do it in a way that feels like a non-anxious presence to others where you're not trying to gain something from them, but you're really wanting to offer something to others in a way that feels natural, feels like a friendship to other ministries like counselors and pastors and other spiritual directors. And so that's kind of where our collaboration began. And we're still talking about that and what that could mean to do something like that here in Arkansas in the Ozarks.
Well, it's been fun to watch Lord shape things. And By now, I think a lot of people know the Spiritual Formation Society of Washington launched in September. And what some people may not know is that Justin was a part of that, in the sense that in our conversations, I was noticing certain things happening, and you even saying, I think I want to do SFSOZ, you know, of the Ozarks. And what would that look like? And what would it look like to partner together? And as we were having those conversations, I'm talking to folks in Washington, and I'm thinking, I wonder if they want to be the Spiritual Formation Society of Washington. And so I very sheepishly kind of offered that to them. And they said, we were thinking the exact same thing. We just got the domain name. We registered with the state. And so it's been interesting to watch the Lord move all these things. And as we're just kind of slowly trying to notice and pay attention. And so it seems like the Lord is bringing about, I think, what we're going to call the Spiritual Formation Society, with no location. It'll be kind of an umbrella space for us in different places to share in this work and encourage one another.
I had a spiritual directee say to me one time while we were in this conversation, it was really hard to find you. And I, you know, kind of said, well, you know, this is stuff I don't do Google ads, you know, for spiritual direction. And, you know, so it's sometimes a little bit naturally hard to find. And just like with a real, like an invitation from God, and how she said it was, people are looking for this and it shouldn't be so hard to find. And it just like, it really like resonated with me. And I thought about what you all do with a directory and having a list of other spiritual directors in the area, and just other people who can really help with people who are looking for that. So there's like little catalysts like that that just keep confirming that people are looking for this, and just formation itself, right? Of that distinction between. And it just as a person who's trained and studied counseling and psychology, and just naturally interested in how do people change and where do behaviors come from, and just, you know, learning along the way that a person can change some things, but that's a distinction than being formed. And so I think people are wanting to find like a new way to be, find their truer self, and what is the most Christ-like version of who they are that I think they are really longing for. So that's been, it's an honor to do this work.
I wanted to ask you about that, Justin, that connection between the counseling and the spiritual formation, because as you know, the spiritual formation world is kind of a Venn diagram of, you know, it encompasses a number of different things. I'm a pastor, also interested in spiritual formation. We have a number of people who listen to this podcast who are also counselor, licensed therapists of some kind or another, and some that are purely, they're just directors. Not just a director, like that's not, you know, a thing. I'm just saying that that's their sole focus. And so for you, what was it about practicing counseling and then moving towards the spiritual formation? I get the sense that you haven't dropped the counseling as well. That's still been, but what was your heart for what that opened up, or what that solved, or what that addressed that counseling perhaps wasn't reaching? And then what do you think the boundaries of counseling are?
Yeah. Thanks for that question, Gray. You know, other than kind of probably the visual or image I get with that is that it feels like God keeps kind of bringing me down this funnel of narrowing my focus a little more along the way. And while practicing as a counselor, I also had a chance to be a counselor educator and work for on faculty at a university. And I think I just began to read more individuals who were counselors or psychologists, but they also were in spiritual formation, or they were spiritual directors, people like Gary Moon or David Benner and, you know, and some others. And I became intrigued by some of their work. And then I remember reading the article by Gary Moon. I believe it was after Dallas Willard had passed away, and he titled it The Greatest Psychologist I Ever Knew. And of course, Dallas Willard was not a psychologist, but the way he experienced Dallas Willard resonated something in Gary Moon's life of drinking from the vine, as he would say, of like, how do we learn to drink from the vine? And so in my work in the counseling world, you're kind of at wherever the client wants to go in terms of the level of integration spiritually. And that's a beautiful thing. I welcome that. And in some ways, the counseling space has somewhat become like a confessional for some people, and being a safe place to talk about things in their life or to talk about things in their relationship with God or the church. And so there's some really beautiful things that's happened in that. But I notice in kind of my own, I guess, invitation from God is to, how do you care for souls? And of course, psychology means theory of the soul or study of the soul. And even that's gotten lost in academia at times of the soul, you know, is hard to measure or study or research. And but yet there is like a hidden hunger in people's eyes when they come in, and in their voice, of almost like they're in the middle of a psalm. They want to learn how to lament, and they want to know how to rejoice. They want to find the ends of the psalm. And I think so, as I began to practice spiritual formation, and I don't mean practice as in it's a tool, but I began to become more aware in my own life of what has been formed, what has not been formed, what has been purely knowledge. I think my brain and my mind has been formed. My hands have been formed, and that serving and being compassionate and offering my gifts to people had been formed. But my own spiritual formation, I needed that. And just the weariness and the burnout and that could come from this kind of work, all that just kind of came to a head. Being able to slowly integrate that felt like a risky move in some ways, of stepping away from academia, stepping away from purely being a private practice that's focused on counseling and billing and insurance and opening this up. But I tell you, what God has been showing me in terms of deepening my friendship with Him, I wouldn't trade it. Like, I wouldn't trade that.
I love that.
Yeah, thank you for that. We'll see if it becomes a thing or not. But I have a question, and I shared this with you earlier. But a question that I think might be a fun one to ask of our guests. And the question is, what would you tell your 20 or 25 year old self if you could talk to him today? And I guess it's an interesting question for me, because I feel like over the last couple of years, I thought, man, if I could go back and talk to my 25 year old self, here's what I would say. And so that question has just become really intriguing to me. And I know we have younger and younger listeners, and it'd be interesting just to think about, as you've walked through some things in life, yeah, what would you say? What would you want your early 20s self to know?
Yeah, I'm approaching 49. So that would be 30, you know, roughly 30 years ago of what would I say? And, you know, and probably I would say, cut back on the little Debbies a little bit. Enjoy them in moderation. But I tell you, there is a song that's been really meaningful to me lately. It's by Paul Zak, and it's, you know, it's based on the words of Julian and Norwich of All Will Be Well. As I was thinking about what did my 20-year-old self or 25-year-old self need to hear, there's a line in that song that says, come close and tell me all will be well. And there was like something in that picture of like, come near me, come close to me and tell me all will be well. Don't preach it to me. Don't generalize it or platitude it, but like, come really close to me and say, all will be well. And I think like as a kid, you know, in some different parts of my story of childhood and adolescence and even young adulthood, I really needed to hear all will be well. And so I think that's probably what I would say. I don't know how 20-year-old Justin would have responded to it. If he would have gone seminary brain with him and like, you know, scripturally tell me about that or something, you know, but I think that's what I would have said. Maybe another thing I might say is lean into writing. I've kind of had like a really, writing has been a struggle in the sense of it feels very intimate with God to write. And I really didn't know how to understand that or receive that when I was younger. And yet, as I'm getting older now, and just I'm able to see that that when I'm writing, there's a deepening of my friendship with God that's happening in that, and that truly it's an audience of one. And really, audience is not the right word, but there's an intimacy and a cooperation happening there. And so I think he needed some encouragement of lean into that intimacy of like when you feel that. That closeness or that depth, don't be afraid of that. So those were the two things that came to mind when I thought of that.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for just being with us. And I'm grateful for growing friendship and relationship, and I'm excited to pray with you as you notice what the Lord is inviting in Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ted. It's always good to see you. And Gray, it was really nice to meet you and look forward to seeing you. I'll be coming out to the conference in February and hope to meet you there.
Wonderful.
You know, something you said when you were talking about your heart for formation and counseling and relates to something I would like to close with. I want to close with something from a book called Thirsting by Strahan Coleman. It's a newer book, I think, just out this year. The phrase that you used that really stood out to me was a hidden hunger in their eyes. And it made me think about this quote that I want to share from Thirsting. Strahan Coleman writes this: "It's been said that desire is the straw that stirs the drink of our lives. That at the very bottom of it all, the very heart of the gospel, is the reorientation of our deepest yearnings, a resurrection of divine affection, an encounter of love. And this view of the kingdom of heaven at its core isn't ultimately about eternal security, ethics, moralism, or justice, but desire. Desire is the blood rushing through the veins of all Christian spirituality. It's also the very heart of prayer. It could be said that all of the biblical story is simply one big love letter from God to humanity, to you personally, to me, saying, I want you. Not only love, but want. That beneath the low hum of human consciousness, hidden amidst molecules and atoms, in the sound of the wind touching trees, the gentle lapping of the shore's waters, and the outstretched arms of the Nazarene carpenter, one aching question has defined all existence since let there be. And the question is, will you love me back?"
So good, Ted. Thank you. Very Augustinian, right? All about the desire. Well, it's been very special to have a conversation with you, Ted, again, as always, and with you, Justin, to have you as our first time guest on this new approach that we have to the podcast. May God bless just this new work in the Ozarks. I'm very excited for you. And I believe your website is Sustain Your Why, W-H-Y, sustainyourwhy.com. And if you're looking in the Ozark area for a spiritual director or counselor, then you can find Justin there. Our website is sfsaz.org. If you're in the Arizona area and looking for a conference to attend, a spiritual director to see, resources on just a walk with God, we would love to have you at a upcoming event that we have scheduled, and we'd love to engage with you however the Lord leads you. So, brothers, thank you for your time. And until next time, we'll see you later.